Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
In Cutler!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The director of Hoosiers and Rudy, David Ansbach, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With me saying how much fake Rudy is, Hoosiers? None of that happened! Is that what you're saying?
Earlier on the show, sports media personality John Boy, Stanford head coach David Shaw, still to come, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, CNN Plus host and 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We are awaiting the phone call momentarily of the reigning coach of the year in the National Football League, Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans, slated to call in a matter of moments. And we just had a nice moment in the back, real quick, because we only have a couple of minutes time in between end of hour and top of the next hour. Just said hello to Rex Chapman. And you don't go back there to say a lot of guests, but you did that, Chris, because it's Rex Chapman.
And he's one of us.
In the brotherhood is what you're saying? And so Rex is here as part of his promotion of a well-earned and so richly deserved opportunity on CNN Plus, the new streaming platform from CNN called Rex Chapman. An interview show, and easily the greatest thing about Twitter ever for me is I got to meet Rex Chapman through it, and I consider him a friend, and I can't wait to chat with him and help him promote his show. But I turned to the phone lines as we, Chris Brockman, you will no doubt monitor Tiger Woods, who is just even par through 10, correct?
Yeah, he just saves par on 10, heading to Amen Corner right now.
Okay, he is out there at an Augusta National Masters competition, and we never thought we'd see it again, so we'll keep an eye on all of that. But we turn to the phone lines, the Mercedes-Benz van phone line, the reigning coach of the year from the Tennessee Titans back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Coach Mike Vrabel. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing great as well. Better for talking to you. Are you a golfer at all? Do you play golf?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah, I enjoy the... I'm not very good. I'm very inconsistent. But, yeah, I enjoy the things that go along with golf.
walking the course? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're talking about?
Just the whole process.
Swing oil? Little swing oil around the ninth, around the turn?
Swing lube, action, all those things.
I like it very much. Okay, let's talk about what action might be going on in your world. How does one prepare for the 26th overall pick in the draft? Can you walk me through that one?
I think you have to do some stock into, you know, we've taken some guys that have been injured, you know, the last couple years, who we felt like wouldn't have been there had they not sustained injury, you know, with Jeffrey Simmons and Caleb Farley. So you do some work on those guys that may be there. I think you pretty much, you do the entire board, but then you start to try to look and, you know, target, you know, a handful of guys that you think will be around that. You never can really predict it, but
right.
You know, you kind of figure out who could be available. And, you know, sometimes some guys, you know, slip for obvious reasons, or you like somebody better than somebody else does.
So you game it out, or are you like going to like actually have mock drafts and things of that nature?
We will. Yeah. I mean, okay. As we get closer to the process, those are things that we've done, in the past, you know, had different picks come off in different scenarios.
Okay. What's it like coaching Derrick Henry, man? What's it like? You know how tough this game is. You've been on that. You've been in a hole when somebody's coming downhill. What is it like for you to coach a guy like him, Mike Vrabel?
Well, I mean, I've always respected Derrick and his ability to prepare for the rigors of the season. You know, we understand, you know, the impact that he has on the game, especially our football team. And he prepares for it. He knows what, you know, what lies ahead. And I think he's very determined, you know, but, you know, it's always fun. You know, I mean, we try to, you know, protect him sometimes against himself and work out a routine and a schedule and what we feel like is best for him. But, you know, he would go every single day of practice if that's what we wanted him to do. And, you know, that's not his plan. But he is always ready for as many carries, and he wants the ball as many times as he can get it.
When you were playing, who was the guy coming through the hole you wanted to see the least?
Well, probably Jerome. You know, probably Bussy. Bussy was, you know, I crossed over with him in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I went away, and, you know, I'd played them in years to follow. And, you know, now I'm like, oh, it's actually really live. This isn't just like the tag off days when we were teammates. Now it's actually, we have to try to tackle this guy.
And he would deliver. You'd.
Well, yeah, certainly. He just wanted to try to get him before he got going.
Man, oh, man. I just remember those days for sure, too. I remember he trucked Urlacher 1 year, and he kind of seemed to. And that's another thing, too, that I love about Derrick Henry is he seems to relish it. He seems to like the trucking part of it, and he likes the fourth quarter.
And a different player, different body style, different play style, but
right.
You know, certainly very unique in their own right, and very, very you know, productive.
Mike Vrabel here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just used the word productive. How productive is it for you to take a look at the film against Cincinnati, and what do you take out of that at all?
Well, we watch, you know, when we watch every game that we play, we go through them all. We go through all the cut-ups, and, you know, like a lot of games, or every game, you know, we know that there's going to be a lot of good in there. There's going to be a, you know, handful of bad, and there's going to be some of those things that we have to that are going to get you beat, and turning the ball over and giving up big plays are one, you know, basically at the top of the hit chart for us. And so, you know, we turned the ball over offensively. We gave up a big play early, you know, to Jamar. We dove and, you know, missed a tackle there on a quick pass that changed field position. And so, you know, we try to take as much out of every game as we possibly can.
And what do you say to those who say it's your quarterback's fault? I'm sure you hear it. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easy answer. You know, I mean, I think that there's a lot that goes into it. You know, Ryan knows he has to take care of football, but everybody else knows that they have a job to do to provide a clean pocket. You know, we got to run great routes, and we have to go, you know, catch the football in front of our eyes, and those are all three things. You know, and Ryan's got to make great decisions. So those ultimately are what leads to interceptions, not just specifically in that game, but, you know, when you turn the football over or you fumble it, you know, chances are, you know, it's loose, or you're switching hands, or you're going to stiff arm, and the ball gets outside the framework of your body, and the second guy coming in, and, you know, so there's all ways that we can protect that guy who has the ball. He's got a responsibility, but everybody else has a responsibility as well to protect him.
And the other two narratives about there about your team, or at least your team is associated with, is the fact of Russell Wilson is now in the conference, and Matt Ryan is now in the conference, and you also have Deshaun Watson returning to the conference, and the American.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how that narrative affects the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, well, the narrative is that you were the first overall seed, and the conference just got even more difficult. So
the National Football League gets hard. We played however many teams, eight or nine teams that made the playoffs last year and beat however many of them. It's going to be the same next year. You know, everybody's got $220 million to spend, and it's going to be great players on every team. That's why this game is great. That's why this league is great. That's why everybody loves it. 18 teams have a chance to make the playoffs, or how many did last year, 20-some teams. 56 games within the last 2 minutes are decided, 31 on the last play. Like, take your heart pills and buckle up.
Mike Vrabel here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And you know what I mean? Like, you guys, you know what I mean? You guys have been around this league forever.
Yeah.
And you just, it's what it's like.
No, I know that. And so,
I love it.
You love the competition of it. I get it. I absolutely get it. That's why I wanted to ask you that question, Mike Vrabel. You know, I knew I'd get an answer similar to that, but I just wanted to hear it from your mouth.
This is a lot. You're just dragging on. I really had to just answer the question.
Well, I'm a Michigan man. I like to hear myself talk, Mike. Come on now. You understand me, you know? Is this like baseball? Is it like a pitch clock? Am I on a pitch clock right now with you? Is that the way it works?
Opening day today, huh?
Yes, there is that too. Is AJ Brown on the trade block, Mike Vrabel?
As long as I'm the head coach, I love AJ professionally, personally. I've gotten to know him well as his coach and enjoy seeing him as much as I possibly can. So, saw him here working out here earlier. Said hi. So, as long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have AJ Brown on my football team.
Mike Vrabel here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the couple minutes I have left with you, I want to pick your brain here because I'm sure you know all these scenarios since you forwarded an idea to fix overtime to the membership at the league meeting that just finished up. Last month, you wanted suggested teams to go for two if they score a touchdown to win it. Instead, it was, I guess, more of a more conventional, if you will, idea.
So
my question for you
is... Before mine got zero votes, I tried to pull it off, but they wouldn't let me.
That's the way these things work. So,
right, you can't fire me. I quit.
So let's get into it here. Are you now going to go and give the ball up in overtime? You want it second? You want it first now under these new rules?
Yeah, I think those are things analytically we'll look at, and I know that's been the idea, and I think that's obviously exactly what you're going to need. You're going to have most likely if you're are down, you're going to have four downs to do it, and that would be. I'm sure the analytical approach and then there's probably also the approach that says, hey man, we want to go score and we want to put the pressure on them. And, so I'm sure we'll look at all those things, when the playoffs come around next year.
What's your general sense though? I mean, I'm just interested in gaming it out unless
I just try to go through the general sense was that if you defer and you play defense.
Right. No, I know the if, but what do you prefer? What do you prefer?
I'm not going to have to make that decision. The playoffs aren't for quite a while.
No, I know that, but you got to be prepared, don't you think? I mean,
I'm not going to prepare for a game that I don't know who we're playing or where we're playing at.
So it really is all circumstantially based, is what you're saying.
Well, you could have a big rainstorm coming in, and it could be a torrential downpour, and you'd want to take the football and score as humanly as fast as possible because, you knew that the rain was coming. There's a lot of factors that go into it. We'll look at it, and we'll try to be ready that. When the playoffs come around next year.
What about the idea that you prefer to know what you have to do offensively, that the team that gets it second will have the benefit of knowing that and have to go for all four down, go on every single fourth down, right?
Yep, that's what we touched on, right. That would be the analytical approach. I know I need a field goal. I know I need a touchdown. And I'm going to use all four downs to get it. It's a tie game. I still have to protect the football, field position, all those things. I think all that comes into play. But at the end of the day, I think it's important that, with the investment that teams are making to quarterbacks, that, those premier players are, going to have an opportunity to have an impact on the game if it were to go to overtime.
What did you like about your idea? What did you like about that?
I thought that it gave a little bit of validation instead of having a walk-off that you had to validate. I used to watch the old Skins game with my grandpa, and if you made a birdie, you'd have to validate and at least make a par on the next hole to win all the cash. And so I thought that would be a way to validate it if there were a long penalty, a long pass play, long touchdown, somebody falls down or something. And, maybe a team was going to go for two, didn't get it 50% of the time. They could ultimately end up losing the game. if you opted to kick the extra point, then the other team would get the ball. So it had a little bit of intrigue, and my, our guess was that 75% of the time that the other team was going to get it, but in the end, it couldn't guarantee that they would.
Well, I didn't run into you on the night of honors, Coach Mike Vrabel, but congratulations on the award. So well earned and richly deserved. Who'd you hear from that night?
A lot of people. You know, I mean, just coaches, friends, family, you know, just players. It's a great honor. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to have played in this game and have the opportunity to coach in it. And, you know, it's you're a good coach because you have great players, and that's what it comes down to.
So did you hear from Belichick? Did you hear from Bill that night?
I mean, I obviously heard from Bill, but not in that regard. He wasn't on the inbox, I don't think, that night.
He wasn't tuned in to NFL Honors? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so.
Oh, Coach Mike Vrabel, I appreciate the time. Thanks very much.
Always, guys. Thank you so much.
No, you got it, man. Thanks for the time, and we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Okay.
You got it. That's Mike Vrabel, everybody. Coach Mike Vrabel. He doesn't like long winding windups. I'm very ponderous.
He's all business.
He's busting my balls on how ponderous I was? Is that what that was?
I think that's also an Ohio State, Michigan.
No, it is not.
I think he's.
No, it is not.
You know, I think he gives it to you because he knows.
That I can take it?
And that you got them this year.
I kind of appreciate that. How many interviewers is he interrupting saying, how is this pertinent to me?
I love that.
You know what I mean?
He's like, I get it.
Why don't you just get around to it?
I wanted to give him a fake scenario. We're at Kansas City. You guys just came from 10 down to force overtime.
He was basically telling you.
It's cold.
By the way,
what do you do?
That was a Belichick in him right there. Like, of course, there's so many different circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, big rainstorm's coming. I'm not giving the ball up. I'm trying to score. You moron.
What are we supposed to do, you moron?
You know what I mean?
I also would like to play golf with Mike Vrabel.
By the way, I don't know if that's the New Yorker me. I kind of appreciate that straightforwardness right there.
Yeah. Where is he from? Is he from Ohio?
I think he's from Ohio.
Yeah.
That's straight up Ohio talk right there, I think.
I think you might be right about that.
I think straight up.
Yeah, he's from Akron.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, right around the corner.
Yeah.
From the hall.
Yeah.
He's from LeBron country.
That's where I usually stay when we go to.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't stay there.
We know. We've dropped you off at your hotel.
That's fine.
Oh, no. We didn't drop him off.
Fine out there. I stay in Kent.
We walked behind Rich as he walked drunk through a parking lot to make sure he
drunk.
Got
it. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a Home Goods over there.
The Home Goods over there. Not sure if you're aware.
They sell because it said there. Home Goods.
Home Goods is a great
store. By the way, real quick here. Drunk through a parking lot.
That's a miscarriage.
Exactly. Like I'm stumbling. I wasn't stumbling.
You weren't stumbling. You had a few.
And the hotel was 3 minutes away.
Yeah. It was through the parking lot.
It was through the parking lot and across the street.
We offered to take you.
I could seem like I'm not going to you guys.
You were just pointing out the store Home Goods is all right.
Let's take a break. Let's put our best foot forward for Rex Chapman for crying out loud.
Yeah, right.
This is gonna be great. Rex Chapman coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. You don't have to thank me for anything.
Yes, I do.
No.
In my mind, I do.
Well, then then I will accept it.
Thank
and,
you,
you know, getting to know you even better, you know, through your Twitter feed and us direct messaging with each other and your remarkable ability to communicate with people on a human level, to talk to people and listen to what people are responding, makes you a perfect person to host a show. And I'm not just saying that because it's called Rex Chapman. You're the only one who could host a show called Rex Chapman.
Thank you. And I'll accept that. I'm trying to do better with accepting compliments. I come from my dad's family where I just expect to get cussed out. And if you're cussing me out, then you don't. If you're not cussing me out, you don't really care.
So did you have to be arm twisted to do something like this? Because you're really putting yourself out there to do something like this, Rex. Or what do
you know?
So I got your pod that's been kind of building your skill level, if you will, at that.
And that's been, you've been a vital resource for that, because anybody can be interviewed, or at least I can. I've done it since I was 15. But doing the interviewing part and having to listen and having, you know, a few bullet points that you want to be sure to hit, but also being able to follow up, that's been a process. The pods have really kind of helped develop some of that, but I'm still just winging it.
Well, I mean, the interview that we just showed with Jason Sudeikis, terrific. And you you went to the set of Ted Lasso, huh?
We went to London. We were in the actual bar. They have actually built a set that looks like that bar. We didn't go over the set, all the COVID stuff and all that. But we did sit in the bar and had the...
That looked like the set.
They built a replica on set.
No kidding.
No kidding. I don't know if I should have said that, but that's the deal.
No, it's all right. That's television magic. I love that show.
Yeah,
that show
it's amazing. He's amazing. You know, I'm just having fun sitting down with... Sports is one thing. This is something completely different. And just to be able to meet some of these people. I've known Jason for a while, but being able to meet people like Ben Stiller, Amber Ruffin, who we are going to have on, we've already taped, Kevin Love, which... We don't talk basketball. We talk mental health the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's something different and something I wanted to try. Basketball, I love basketball. I love doing the tournament and NBA TV and playoffs and all that stuff. But this is just something different. And I think I would have kicked myself had I not tried it.
Do you go to each interviewee? Do you go to them and sit in some spot that's special or specific to them?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been just fantastic. I can't believe how open and willing to talk that people are. I've been blown away by it. And I'm still, you know, learning this whole thing from what the producers do to and the other part of that is editing, man. Oh my gosh.
Without editing, we're nothing. We're nothing without quality editing equipment in our business.
It's been fast. I have always said there's nothing like being on a team. Nothing. Especially playing on a team. The second best thing to that is being on some other kind of team.
Right.
And all of this, like you guys know, it takes all of you guys to pull off something pretty special every damn day.
No doubt.
And being a part of a team, not wanting to let down the rest of your squad, not wanting to let down the interview, the person I'm interviewing.
Right, yeah.
Wanting to do right by them, I think, is huge. I've really embraced the studying part because you really need to know your stuff when you have somebody on that you don't know.
Well, because the last thing you don't want, last thing you want, is for somebody to make a reference to something that you're like, what does that mean? What are they referring to? And refer to it firsthand because it's very important to them and you don't know.
I haven't run into that yet, but I just got a hot flash thinking about it. I really did.
So you're putting yourself out there, and I absolutely love that. So when you spoke to Ben Stiller, was he hooked up to the Meet the Parents lie detector? I mean, is that what you, did you do that?
No, we didn't. He's not ready to break out Magnum just yet. He did divulge. But no, it was amazing. The other part that was amazing is that we were able to talk. This was, you know, a month or so ago, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We were able to talk about Severance in the past tense because I'd seen it. And
what a great show. Hell of a show.
Great show.
No, he came on. It had yet to really begin airing. And now it's so damn popular. Rex Chapman, CNN Plus show. Rex Chapman, new episodes stream every single Monday, always available on demand on CNN Plus. So, jumping, I guess, into the world of sports, if best we can.
What
do you got right there? Oh, you got your Phoenix Suns.
Oh, you wanted to talk sports?
There you go. I like it. I like it. They're so damn good, man. The Suns are so damn good.
The best team in the league?
I agree. They are the
for
best team in the league.
For 2 or 3 years now?
Here's the thing that nobody's really talking about very much, and I know that you want to talk about just, you know, the hardcore hoops and how well they are playing. I honestly thought when the Robert Sarver report came out, that was the end of it. I thought the season's over for them. Like, how are they going to be able to focus on the hoops? How are they going to be able to just lock in? And I'm like, oh, that's right. That's Monty Williams. And then that's Chris Paul, who's kind of been through all this sort of insanity before as a Los Angeles Clipper. So they're that's an incredible backdrop, for the lack of a better phrase, to this season that they've been able to perform. Rex.
Yeah, a lot of distraction, you know.
One would think.
I've known Robert a long time. He's a different guy, but I was really hurt by a lot of that, and I hope that they're able to move past it. He's been good to me, good to my family, and you know me and my background and the things that I stand for. Mm-hmm. And if I thought for 1 second that any of that stuff had merit, I couldn't be associated with it. Mm-hmm. I'm a Suns fan. I love the organization and what James Jones has done.
The GM.
The franchise 4 years ago was pretty much rock bottom, one of the worst teams in the league. And in 4 years, the culture has really changed there. You talk about it. We hear about that all the time, but when you're around that team for any time at all, it has a real sort of college-type feel to it in the locker room. Monty has pushed the right buttons. Of course, you've got Chris Paul, who's one of the best playmakers of all time. Devin Booker. Devin Booker is a star.
He's a star. No doubt.
Like, in my mind, that's what I wanted my game to look like. Mm. That, at 6'5", you know, just he can do everything. He's become a determined defender. DeAndre Ayton's growth, Mikal Bridges, his jump shot 2 years ago, it looked like Rajon Rondo's a few years way back in the day.
Yeah,
he's a shooter now. He can make open shots. Suns are for real.
So the team that concerns you the most, is it in the Western Conference?
Yeah, the Warriors. You know, I still think that they're elite. If Steph gets back and all of that, I think they're pretty good. I don't think Klay will be quite himself until fall.
Yeah.
He's still shaking off the rust, but man, I'm so happy to have him back watching him. One of my favorite players. Disappointed in the Lakers, as most people are. And in the East, I don't know. I still like Miami. I think Miami's good. The Bucks, of course. I'm not a big Sixer. I don't think the Sixers have it.
Why is that?
Defensively, I think they've taken a hit. Joel's playing great. James is obviously, he can beat you anytime. I'm looking at the Nets, though. The Nets just somehow, how'd you like to play that team in the first round?
Not at all. I wouldn't want to do that at all. And the
You've
way
got
things
a game are plan, game plan for two different guys, two top, maybe top five scorers on the planet. How are you going to do that? Especially, and you've had a great season and you're the two seed and you're going to play them.
No, and they're, you know, potentially, look, it looks like that they're out of that worst play-in game. Mm-hmm. Looks like they're going to be in the one where all they got to do is just beat the Cavs, and then they're your seven seed walking in. Look out.
I know, right?
You know.
And then you got, who is it in the East that's, or in the West? Well, it's my Suns. You want to play Memphis right away?
No. I hear you. Right. I hear you. Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's just say you sit Jordan down on Rex Chapman. How's that for an idea?
What's that?
Michael Jordan. Let's say you sit Michael Jordan down for Rex Chapman.
Love it.
What do you ask him? What would you want to know from Michael Jordan? What would the interview between Rex Chapman and Michael Jordan be from back in your day?
I think it would start with, you know, because I was a great player in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, all-world player. That's what I felt like I saw Michael. Michael could do that to us sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, pro players, he could... It felt sometimes like, you know, he was toying with me like I toyed with high school kids back in the day. And so I would want to know, because he was freaky, those big hands and his demeanor, his bounce, his competitive will. I wonder when he realized that, because you know it. You just know it. You know, if you assert yourself, you can't embarrass whoever you're playing against. And Michael could get into a mode at times where you really were at his mercy and the mercy of his mood at the time. And if he was, if it was a playoff situation and I faced them once in the playoffs, they swept us like a JV team in the first round. When he was engaged, which was most of the time, he didn't take days off. He didn't rest. He played every single night. I would wonder when he started, you know, didn't make his high school team famously. When did he realize it? Was it at Carolina?
Was it the shot in New Orleans? Shot?
Yeah. What was it? And when was it that he realized, okay, I'm better than everyone else?
That would be a great question to ask him. That's and then the nice. Answer, certainly, since you were on the business end, the wrong business end, right? And this is what I try to tell people who are of a certain age. They never saw Jordan play. And I know that it's unfortunate for LeBron that he's on the end of the stick of saying, well, Michael's the greatest of all time. But what you just said, I don't know if we could sit here and say LeBron toys with anybody and would toy with other professionals. I mean, he is stupendous. He's going to wind up the greatest scorer in the history of the game and a champion and an all-time great and, you know, all of those things and accolades he deserves. But when it comes down to it, I just remember Michael Jordan would rip your heart out and show it to you pumping and then, you know, put it back in, surgically repair it, and then do it again. You know, like
LeBron's that's a little more empathetic, probably.
And
as an athlete, you know, we kind of hate that just as a cutthroat, you know, the way we're raised,
right.
Be a man and you just go out there and you kill them. LeBron's not wired exactly like Michael is. Almost no one is. But I respect the heck out of LeBron. And I do think he has had, you know, he's still amazing. He's almost leading the league in scoring. His game is different than it was 7 years ago. He was the fastest man on the planet. End to end, reckless abandon, and he did toy with people. I mean, he's gone through that. I think the older he's gotten, he paces himself a little more, and heck, he's played forever. To put him in the category with Michael is not unreasonable. I, of course, am biased. I think Michael's the best player ever. LeBron, what he's done, though, on and off the court, he's put himself out there. You know, the guy's never been in trouble. He's never been in trouble. He's made, you can question the decision, okay, whatever. But that dude from age 17, 15 was supposed to be the next guy, and he's been that guy. Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, we can't pay enough as NBA people. You can't pay guys like LeBron and Stephen enough to, you know, put the league on their back like it is.
Yeah, I did sports centers after LeBron high school games. That's how long I that's happened.
That's right.
You know, I would do sports centers and LeBron's high school games would be on ESPN. And, you know, there were no camera phones when Jordan was doing it. There was, you know, I guess towards the end of the 80s, Mike and the Mad Dog in New York. There weren't shows like this. Twitter didn't exist. I mean, it's a totally different era in which LeBron is doing it.
What year did he come out? Did they come out, Chris and... or LeBron in that class.
LeBron came out
2003.
That's the year I left SportsCenter. Yeah.
Okay, so I was just finishing playing in 2000, and I remember Danny Ainge was he was doing TV stuff, but he was watching players also. And I asked him if there was anybody out there. This was 2001. He said, "There's a kid named LeBron James in Akron, Ohio." That right now, I think LeBron was a junior in high school, that right now I would trade everyone in the league for, with the exception of Kobe.
Danny Ainge
Danny
said,
Ainge
this
said
to
that, and I went, "What are you talking about?" And then I watched some film of him playing football, and then playing also playing basketball. And the only thing he couldn't do was shoot. That was it. He could do everything else. His passing was otherworldly. You know, defensively, he could jump. Amazing. Danny was spot on.
There's no question about that. And that's why I'm kind of sheepish to even bring up the Jordan LeBron conversation. But again, I'm of a certain era.
Right.
And, you know, when you talk about the Jordan mindset, you do talk about Tiger, who's in, yep. on the course right yep. now, doing a remarkable, just what he's doing.
Amazing.
Now. Serena, you talk about people of that mm-hmm. stature and sort of a mindset and warrior mentality in a way that does not get applied to LeBron in the same way. And maybe because right. LeBron, if you remember, of course, you know, when he started, it was always he makes the pass, he doesn't take the shot.
Right.
And he did that even again just recently. That was something that happened
yeah.
that he got roasted for,
you know,
this season.
Yeah.
You know?
I think some of this, too, is the era that we're in. You know, when I was playing in the NBA, especially early on, pre-cell phone. And so you didn't have, unless you played college ball with another guy, you didn't know them from AAU from the time you were 8 and or 10 or 12.
Yeah.
All of these guys, you know, the Trae Youngs, the LeBrons, all these guys, they've known each other on this travel circuit from the best players in the country. They've known each other from the time they're young. And I think that there's some, you know, remember how weird it was when all of a sudden Larry and Magic were doing a commercial together? We were like, what the hell is this? This is not cool. They don't like each other. And so I think we've gone through this period where, you know, we remember this analog world where people didn't, there was no Twitter. There was no, you couldn't connect with people you weren't physically around all the time. And so I think the world is a little different, and these guys just know each other better, and it's not as cutthroat. It's just not.
Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you have like 10 more minutes? I know that's a
call. Okay,
fantastic.
Want, buddy.
Let's take this to the end of the hour, if you don't mind. Rex Chapman, CNN Plus's Rex Chapman, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, I do want to talk about your process, if you will. I just,
oh,
you know, you are prolific, sir. There's no question about it. Rex Chapman next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the terrestrial radio outfit, Rex Chapman here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, what do you, how do you decide what you're posting? Like today, like, by the way, our poll question, ask him the poll question based on his
His
tweets today.
I don't know how big of a baseball guy you are, Rex.
He's the one who tweeted these fans
I understand,
Chris?
But I don't know if he's a hardcore fan like we are. Like, which baseball movie that came out today is your favorite? Sandlot, Major League, Bad News Bears.
You put all three of those things out.
But again, this is so easy at this point. I have people that send me this stuff, and the guy that sends me most of the anniversary stuff, mm-hmm. great guy, just had a baby. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Kevin is his name.
Yeah.
But around midnight every night, he just sends me stuff. And, you know, it kind of grows his Twitter. And
you've got your own homegrown curators?
It's amazing. I used to look for stuff years ago.
Yes.
And over time, there are two or three, four people, really. One in the Netherlands, one in London, one in Chicago, and one in Jersey. And those guys are magnificent curators. And they'll just send me things, and I'll After the show's over, I'll get out of here. There'll be a couple DMs from them, and it'll be like, check this out. Amazing.
So do you have an opinion on, because I did not know. I could not believe like those three baseball
games. It was probably opening day, right?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, of those three, Bad News Bears.
What? I'm with you too. But come I bet on. You that's last place because it's the oldest, right?
Yeah, it's last place.
Is it last place?
It's 10%.
It's going to be the Sandlot's going to be the favorite.
Sandlot
right?
Major League actually just one off. 46% Sandlot, 45% Major League.
Okay. Yeah. But Bad News Bears, Tanner.
Does anybody understand that without the Bad News Bears, there aren't fill in the blank of so many movies?
And I named my middle daughter Tatum.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because of...
No, from Tatum the Road, but think about that.
Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
Years Rex before.
He's not Rex naming her after a Duke player.
There's a street named Tatum in Phoenix, but and Tatum O'Neal.
They could say that. I mean, Walter Matthau is Buttermaker.
Oh, is genius. Just,
you know...
Was he even nominated?
I don't know.
I bet he wasn't. I mean, they didn't nominate for movies like that at that time, did they? I don't know.
He was genius. Everyone needs to go to our YouTube page to see this story that I'm about to paraphrase for you here, Rex Chapman. We had Kevin Pollak on, who'd be a great guest for you.
Love him.
And he told a story about Walter Matthau, that when he passed away on the back end, on the back of the, I guess, booklet that they had there for the day's events and remembrances were like his bets from the week before.
Big time gamble.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were on the set of,
Was it Grumpier Grumpy Old Men?
Grumpier Old Men. Right. Yeah, Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah.
And he basically was just hating them being there. And Kevin asked him something along the lines of, like, what are you doing here? He goes, the script stinks, kid. But my bookie needs my money or something like that.
Something like that.
Script stinks, kid. I mean, unbelievable.
Oh, he's so good.
But I mean, it was like Buttermaker come to real life, you know? And I just love that movie.
Same.
So I would guess that too. So that's how you decide what you're tweeting out?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just prolific when it comes to this sort of thing.
Pretty much.
And that's basically how you and I got to get into significant touch, the blocker charge stuff. Yeah. And I would just start responding quite a bit. And look what you've grown it into, man. I can't believe it.
Teamwork.
Makes the dream work?
Makes the dream work.
I mean,
work.
What's your teamwork? I mean, you're doing it.
No, and people are sending it to me. These are other people's videos, you know.
It's, right.
I find it fascinating that people think I'm the feel-good guy and send me, you know, I try to be.
You are.
I'm all kinds of mentally ill, depression, anxiety. I get so worked up before these interviews.
Yeah.
Like, I get nervous. Not like nervous, anxious before a game. Like,
yes.
I want to do right by the people. I want to do right by, you know, my Sophie, who's brought me to this interview today. And I want to do right by the people that are investing their time, the cameramen, the crew, our producers, but mainly the guests. I want to do right by them and let them know that, hey, you know, we're going to have a good time here, but I'm doing my homework.
Well, look, man, I understand what you were talking about whatever fears or whatever, you know, thoughts you're dealing with or whatever. My own two cents I would say to you is just be you, man.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Just show up and be you. And if you might not be in the mood or the right mindset or whatever, I don't know whatever you can do to help you get into that, but all you got to do is just be you.
Yeah.
People just want to meet you and talk to you and pick your brain and hang out with you and all of that.
When you were starting out doing this stuff, did you get nervous? And I you're a pro at this point and you guys just do it. But did you get anxiety?
I have anxiety watching. I'm serious. I have anxiety watching back like the first 2 years of this show because I'm still to this day uncomfortable having takes.
Yes.
Like, that's not my default is to tell you what I think.
Right.
And then I see some people who are, and you're laughing right over there because these guys, TJ and Chris.
I've been trying to get them to have.
No, because sometimes they're just like, you know, get a take and just don't be you know, concerned about it. And I see the people with whom I compete every day. And I honestly, I sit there and I think, how the hell does their brain work that way to come up with that wrinkle on an, having an opinion on something that you really don't even need to have an opinion on?
Right.
And
right.
So
no, they've showed me I didn't like watching myself play basketball, good or bad. I hated film, hated it. So this, for sure, they've had to force me to watch. They had to force me to watch the first couple. And I was pleasantly relieved that I saw the production of it. I saw the editing.
They got your back.
And yes, they got your back. But I was just relieved. Relieved that it wasn't terrible.
Oh, you know, but, and I can understand, you know, you saying that sort of thing. But, you know, obviously you're with a professional outfit. You know, Jake Tapper wouldn't let that happen to you anyway. And, you know, and you know, put it all together and you've got a persona. I like whoever's chosen the glasses.
That's actually me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've noticed that you got that. You're wearing these glasses.
Yeah, I like a little color.
Yeah, it's good.
It helps pick me up, I think. Okay. Blue socks.
Okay. I like it.
Blue socks.
Okay. And then, color. You know, and then next time you come on, and then there'll already be a line of Rex Chapman glasses. You know, just bring us some free pair because,
hey,
you know,
Rich,
that's why we're in this.
You know, Rex just brought up socks, and there's something that I've always remembered about Rex. I must have been in maybe eighth or ninth grade. There was a Brian Bosworth was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and there was a story about Rex Chapman in there. And what I always remember, there were two things about you, Rex. One, you were the first player that I ever saw wear the quarter ankle socks that stopped, and you had on a pair of Nike, I think, Revolutions or something. Mm-hmm. I always remember that. And you were the first time I ever read somebody say the phrase, my bad. It was a quote that you were playing basketball. I think you threw the ball away and you were like, my bad. And that was something I adopted until yesterday. Like I say that all the time. So the quarter socks, it's just funny that you brought up your socks because you were the first person in SI that I saw. Because normally we'd have the calf socks. You're just rolling down. Yeah.
Amazing. So, yeah. And I could go hug him.
Well, you could. We got a hard out in 50 seconds anyway. Right. So you'll get there.
No,
get there
I for real, that's true. And I got into the NBA. And I'm playing a game in Milwaukee, my first game in Milwaukee. At halftime, Ronnie Nunn, longtime ref, came to me and said, just got a call from the league office, Rex. You got to go back in, put on socks that show the logo, or you can't play. And so I went in and I put these logo socks on and wore the socks. But they were always rolled down. I don't know why I did that, but I did.
And you see people would notice that.
I remember
and
that.
Did he just get in the hall, Ronnie Nunn? Did I see that?
I hope so. Should have been.
I think I saw that. I don't know if I saw that.
My teammates called me Ronnie Nunn for a whole year as a rookie because I was made to carry the ultrasound bag around that looked like a doctor's bag, a referee's bag.
Rex Chapman, good luck to you, sir. Thanks for coming on. This place is open to you anytime, sir.
Thank you, man.
Couldn't be happier for you. CNN Plus's Rex Chapman every Monday. New episodes on CNN Plus. We're back on Peacock to wrap this show up in a moment. For radio, see you Friday.